Welcome to Forward, a podcast by EasyCare, where we protect what moves you with your host, Corey Smith, and co-host, Eric Howdige. The views and opinions expressed by guests in this podcast may not be those of the host or EasyCare and APCO Holdings Brands.
Welcome to Forward. I'm your host, Corey Smith, National Fixed Operations Training Director with EasyCare, joined by my partner in crime, as always, Eric Howdige. Eric, welcome to Forward.
Thank you so much, Corey. It's amazing to be here. I'm super excited for today's show.
I think you're always excited for the episodes. This one's a little bit more special because we love Russell Hill. Russell Hill, welcome to Forward.
Thank you. I'm your partner in crime. I love it. Yeah, I've known you two guys for a long time. What you do for the industry is just unparalleled and phenomenal. And the lives that you're a part of changing is amazing. So thank you for all you do.
For those that don't know you, Russell, why don't you tell our audience a little bit about you, what you do, what your title is, and the company you work for?
Okay. I own a technology company and SaaS company. And for those of you who don't know, I'm Russell Hill. I'm the co-founder and managing partner with my friend Rick Eckert. We founded this company almost 6 years ago, and it's Fixed Ops Marketing. But what's really interesting, because this is my 40th year in the business, a lot of people know who I am. They still don't know what we actually do. But it's because when you think about Fixed Ops Marketing, I used to ask questions all the time. What do you think you're going to see today? I get a gamut of answers, and none of them are even remotely close because of what they think Fixed Ops and Marketing and how that plays. So it's really exciting to be able to share a little bit about us, our dream, our vision, and how we're trying to impact and change this phenomenal industry we call Fixed Operations.
Well, welcome to Forward. You're a four-time guest. Let's get it kicked off. We're going to title this episode, The Digital Lot, Why Your Website is the New Showroom.
That's amazing. It's the digital showroom is how most people shop today. And Russell, when a customer visits a dealership website today, what are they expecting? And how is it different from just a few years ago?
Man, well, first of all, today, all of you out there are starting to pay more attention to it, but not on the fixed side. And let me explain. It is the showroom. That's where all four of your profit centers are located, new and used in parts and service. It's beyond me. I don't know. Now, I start things completely off different. So I'll kind of tell you some things that I say when I first start meeting with people to show them our technology and what we're doing. Dealerships are leaking thousands to tens of thousands of dollars from their website, that portion of it, and they don't even know who those customers are. It's amazing that almost 30% of people that show up daily to a dealer's website are looking for service-related content. Oh, there's nothing there. Oh, static images with expired dates, not relative or useful content, certainly not educational. And it's on top of all that, you don't even know who they are. What I have found is that most dealers can tell you in a date range how many people came to those pages, right? And how long they were there. But the only thing they can really quantify is the 20% that are routinely scheduling service. Beyond that, they don't have any clue. Well, that's unacceptable for the variable side. Case in point, I was running, this is my 40th year in the business, so I was running a Nissan Mitsubishi franchise in 1997. We got our first website. Now, back then, we had ultra-fast dial-up AOL modems, okay, unlike what we have today. And I mean, it's amazing at what it's evolved and how far we've come. But it's most of it, I mean, all of it back then and still even today, all the funnels, widgets from high funnel to low funnel for customers for the variable side for new and used all exist. But we still see a pair of scissors cutting out a dotted line. And this is the 21st century. People, everybody's online. Yeah. Everybody is online. Everybody today is talking about data, how important data is. More importantly, how important clean data is and what's going to be happening with AI and that already is and what and how it's going to really magnify and excel what we're doing into the 21st century. And it's dealers. I don't know what it is. It's like an afterthought. They're not really even thinking about that from, but they are now. There's a paradigm shift taking place right now. And so that would be the difference between a few years ago and today. And I would say that people are really starting to pay attention to it, but they're paying attention to the stuff that you guys are doing, and what you bring the industry is phenomenal. But very few, and I'm involved in all kinds of Zoom meetings and rooms, very few of them are really talking about the marketing. Oh, well, somebody else handles that. Well, they don't know what they're doing.
Yeah. So that leads me into my question, where, you know, what advice would you give a dealer that isn't paying attention to this? You know, you talk about it all the time. Website is the new showroom, right?
Yes.
What happens when a dealer just treats it like another marketing tool? What kind of advice would you give them to really ignite this change that you're seeing?
They should routinely go in and check all the navigation links and make sure everything is working. Because you think about it just a minute. The average attention span is 5 seconds today. Okay. And I call it the three click. It's not even, I call it the three click rule, but everybody's online. You, me, everybody's online. Some of us are even death scrolling on our phones. But if you're looking for something and you can't find it by that third click, exponentially, the exit rates go through. You missed an opportunity. It is your showroom. When I was running stores, you see a customer come in, park in front of the showroom, walk in the showroom. Nobody says hello. Nobody does a thing. They walk around waiting for somebody to engage them, right? Thinking somebody else already has, and they're just looking or whatever. Then a couple minutes later, you see them exiting, getting in their car and leaving. That is what is going on dealers' websites today. We have all the relative experience to know what we're looking for. Look at Amazon. Man, you can find it with three. I mean, it's just amazing. And dealerships are starting to pay attention to that. But they're still paying way too much attention to just the variable side, making sure all those calls to action are there. But we need to be transparent, okay? If you have to force somebody to fill out a form to get information that should be provided, and yet today we're talking about transparency with video and picture MPI and all these types of things, but we won't give them a price. Are you kidding me? It's the kiss of death. Do you guys agree?
I agree. And I love where you're going with this. And I love comparing our industry to Amazon. I love what Amazon has evolved into. I mean, just last week, I was having a bag of crackers and I've never seen them before. I'm like, man, these are awesome. Where can I get these? The first thing I did was pull out Amazon, take a picture of it, and it showed me where I can get it, how much I can get it for, and if I can get it delivered. So you're absolutely right.
Wow, what an experience.
Right? And I won't go anywhere else. I'll spend more money on Amazon than I will going to a traditional store.
Why is that, Corey?
Because of the convenience.
Exactly.
And that's what all your customers are looking for.
That's right.
So what are some of the biggest mistakes dealers make with their websites that cost them leads, appointments, and trust in your mind? Do you have any stats to back any of this stuff up?
Well, I certainly don't on the just too many clicks, first of all. And if they think of it as in relating to their experience, because everybody that we're referring to, everybody out there listening to this, don't tell me you're not on Amazon. I know you're on Amazon. So think of that when you're looking at your website, but they're not even looking at their website. And when I'm talking to potential clients or clients, I don't even pull up their website. I don't have to pull up their website. You see, I know they're pulling up their website while I'm showing them our technology and comparing apples to apples. And it is not. It's apples to oranges. There's no comparison. And it's like, okay, yeah, I know I need to make some change, but it's the cost. No. It costs you more to maintain what you're doing right now than to think about doing something different, that you're going to know who those customers are that you've never known before. You're going to have a way to market to them for trade in and trade up and for transparency and all the reasons that we talk about today. So they need to routinely, I would say at least once a month, look at their website and go through the nav links. If you trust somebody else to do it, that's fine, but verify that it's being done by spot checking. But that's just the website. What about the phone? What about iPads? What about all these other devices? How does it display there? Do pop-ups get in the way and chatbots get in the way of the messaging? And these are all things that we should be taking a look at, Corey and Eric.
I love that.
Great, great response and great.
Thank you.
And Russell, from your perspective, what's the ROI dealers should expect from investing in their digital storefront, and how do they know it's working?
Well, Eric, they don't. They don't. Case in point. I was talking to a general manager because we do everything now. And I'm just going to talk about just the paid side. Okay. You should be able to quantify if you're spending money on paid ads to drive traffic. Okay. So all dealerships have internal or third party companies they use to do this. Here's my experience. I was talking to a GM quite a while ago, but it's been verified many times since then. He's spending $50,000 a month in paid advertising, $47,000 for variable and $3,000 for fixed.
Wow.
Are you kidding me? Why? Well, we can't really quantify okay. Well, now I'm going to stop and back up. I'm going to talk about something completely catch everybody off guard. Flour and sugar commodities. We all have access to flour and sugar, right?
Yeah.
Russell makes a souffle. Corey makes a souffle, and Eric makes a souffle. But Eric's souffle is better than Corey's souffle and my souffle. Why is that? We all have access to the flour. It's the ingredients. Eric has ingredients that I don't have. Therefore, his tastes better. Okay. Now, keep that in mind. Google. Level playing field. It's a commodity. Everybody has access to it. Yeah, there's some, but still, everybody knows what I'm talking. You can bid on, keywords or a combination of keywords. You can write ad content, and you can target it to wherever you want it to go. But you don't have the ingredients to track it and to capture that customer information. It goes to a page that you might be able to print, or it goes to a booking page to schedule service. They're looking for information. They're clicking on an ad, or it takes them to the homepage, and you got four clicks to get to a place that there's nothing there. So I know I had an ADHD moment right there. But so Eric, back to your question about how can they really track that? Well, the thing is they can't. Okay. Here's the three things dealers know today. How many people came and how long they were there, not who they are. Because you don't track prints. We do, but nobody tracks prints. Scheduling service link. Now, the numbers I have nationally, I could be wrong. Demographically, they may be higher. It's 20% of people that are routinely scheduling service. Through that, you can quantify that. You can measure that. But everything else, it's like a waste. You don't know who they are. And if you think about it, you know all of that on the variable side. So there's no way to really track that. The ingredients we have is we have calls to action everywhere on everything, whether they're 18 years old or 80 years old. Whether it's my company or you're doing something internally or externally or through somebody else, you need to be able to engage the customer with the right content, the right message at the right time. And it should be somewhat educational. Okay.
Love it. That.
Thank you.
Here we're talking about the showroom and the website, but now let's talk about the service department. How can the service department use the website to actually drive more repair orders, not just schedule oil changes?
Good point. This paradigm shift that I feel and you guys do, we want to be a part of the revolution of a rising tide raising all ships. We got our work cut out for us, and we all know that. I think it's 30 or 33% of people today don't even know dealerships sell tires. Are you kidding me? Now, because of that and many other things, we have made billionaires out of the independents. Now, the numbers that I have from NADA, reliable source, is there 16 of those around surround every franchise dealer because they know what's taken place or have known what's taken place. Things are slowly starting to change, and I think that will speed up, actually, is that they think this, 7 out of 10 people have defected by the time the end of the warranty period's up because of the way we're handling. So it's about educating consumers, okay? Do they know the difference between a conventional and semi-synthetic or full synthetic oil change? No. Do they know what is really involved in the alignment? What is the feature and advantage and benefit to me? They see an alignment for what really is an alignment? What does it mean to me? So educating consumer with video content, because over 80% of all consumers' consumption today is video-based. Eric, advisors can use the, and Corey, advisors can use this content to educate the consumer and to validate and reinforce what they're talking to the consumer about. So it's value.
Russell, we're going to switch gears here a little bit because we love pushing the envelope.
Switch gears.
Okay. Yeah. Right. How can AI, chat, and automation elevate the website experience without making it feel impersonal?
Well, that's a good one. A lot of that is happening right now. Okay. So if somebody's, this is evolving really, really fast. I forgot the author's name, but if you take a look at farming in the early 1900s, it was a pretty substantial amount of the United States. Today, it's 2% in 100 years. And we're going to, in the next 20 years, we're going to advance that 100 years. And actually, I think it could happen even faster. The advent of it's like only 3 years old. Everybody's talking about it. So I'm talking to a dealer group. I'm going to mention them, Group One. And they're into the after sales now, and they chose us as one of their vendors for all their stores just because of the data. See, they understand that something's been missing. They understand that most of the money's made in fixed operations. They understand that the average car on the road now is, 13, 14 years. Things are slowing down and on the inventory side. And so, you know, tariffs, you can cut whatever you want to. The point is, they're starting to pay more attention to that. And then just from their DMS, if I'm not mistaken, goes into their CDP, customer data platform. Their CRM goes in there. Vendors that are playing right, well, their information goes in there, and ours does too. That's clean data. And it takes that, and that is, it requires an enormous amount of data. And what that means to the future is how we deliver things in a timely manner. So if you're getting a notification about your first oil change and you just had your fourth oil change 2 days, it's a problem. Well, what's happening, right? Most vehicles are computers. Think about warehousing and distribution and timing, AI being able to deliver a message because it understands that your check engine light is fixing to go off before it even goes off. And scheduling an appointment and ordering that part and having it at the store ready to go when you come in. That's the kind of, everybody knows, my wife is listening to something on the news and she's scrolling on Facebook and there's an ad. I'm telling you, they were listening. Somebody was listening to the background of the commercial or something and just threw that up. It's kind of scary, but we kind of like it too. Mobile service is becoming a big, big thing for convenience. Well, you can't make any money doing that. Well, okay. Both of you right now have a convenience store down the street, and within 15 minutes, you probably got a Walmart. I think that's how they strategically do that. A gallon of milk is $1.99 at Walmart, and it's $4.99 at the convenience store. Which one is less? It's not Walmart. people default and think it is. It's not. It's the convenience store because of your time, and you get there and back 15 minutes away. It's still 45 minutes to an hour. And then when you get out to your car at the other end of the parking lot, and you have to go all the way to the end of the store to get the dairy products because people are replacing that stuff all the time. If you think you're getting out of there with a gallon of milk, you're mistaken. It's a $100 bill. And you, there's a cart that's dinged your car door, and you get home and it's like you're just beside yourself. AI is the future where that's going. So you got somebody online for the first time trying to schedule service. It's a lot of clicks, and maybe one of them gets to a question of mileage on your car, and they go, man, I'm done. Boom. And you got all these other things need to be done. See, I'm just going to call the dealership. And then you call the dealership, you get the receptionist, it gets dropped. You call back, she connects you to what you think is the service department, but it's the sales department. So then they say, hold on, apologies, transfer you to the service department. And by the time it rings two or three times, it goes to voicemail. And it's like nobody ever calls that customer back. That's where AI is going to come in. It's going to listen. AI is not going to replace our jobs. It will some, but the stuff we're talking about in service, I mean, we're going to need the human side of that. There's always the human side of it. It is a supplement of the mundane stuff that we need to take care of our customers. The phone is ringing off the hook. We got 16 messages of people we got to respond to. It's going to take 2 hours to do that. And then there's more. AI is going to be a critical part of the infrastructure of alleviating, and already has started to take place. Trade in, trade up, extended warranties, timing on your maintenance is critical, right? We want them coming back at least two times a year, and on and on. This is the only way we're going to offset losing all that business to the independents is through AI. And some of it's not good, I have to admit, but it's getting better very, very fast. And I would say this to anybody out there. If you looked at something 6 months ago, you better look at it again. It's already changed. If you bought a new S25 Samsung Ultra like I did, the day it came out, it was already obsolete because of what's coming down the road right behind it. And that's what's going on with AI. And I think it's important. Here's another thing. I think that there's a lot of vendors out there. I get it. At least once a year, if not twice a year, all the vendors need to get together. Okay, so we understand what each and everybody is doing and if there's some overlap, but we want to serve the client. The client is you. You're the dealership. We want to make your customer centric. We're customer centric. You're our customers, and you're trying to be the same thing with your customers or your guests. I think it's important to find out what we can do collectively together to make things easier on you. And plus, you get to find out all the time these companies that you're doing business with. In my opinion, 6 months down the road, if their technology hasn't changed, it's the wrong company.
When you start speaking, when you start speaking future, we're talking my language. That's information I love. Your response, just amazing.
Thank you.
What kind of tools or integrations should every dealer website already have in 2025 and should be looking at for 2026 to stay competitive?
To stay on the cutting edge, unfortunately, you need to look at the cutting edge stuff. And dealers are not doing that except in piecemeal referral, word of mouth. Yeah, very important. I think that's great to get through the clutter. But man, I mean, if you're making waves and you're innovating and motivating, dealers need to not have contempt prior to investigation and get enough information to make sure that the decision they're going to make is with the right information. I hope that answers your question, but the website is critical. Everybody's hitting your website just like you all hit websites. I mean, how many a day? And I used Amazon, but there's so many of them out there that deliver the right content, the right message at the right time with convenience and ease for me to get in and out and do what I need to do. And I know, just like Corey, you mentioned earlier, I know I pay more and I don't care because I know what my experience is going to be. And I know if I'm unhappy, I can send it back. I mean, right? Yep. And if it's something that it's not, people think it's about money, but it's really not about money. If the value exceeds the expense, people people want to have a relationship. People want to say, this is where I get my car serviced. Okay. This is where I know John, he's my service advisor. I know Terry or Lisa, she's my sales rep, man. We feel good about referring somebody like that, but only because of the experience. And you can't just meet the expectation. You have to exceed it to get that level of referral and commitment. Do you agree?
Absolutely.
Okay.
Website is an employee of our business. And if that employee isn't trained, if that employee isn't brought up to date and understanding everything they're supposed to be communicating with the people who are walking into our business through these very powerful tools that we call phones nowadays, we are losing business, clients, customers, relationships, not on a daily basis, on a minute basis.
Oh man, one of the things there's two of the biggest defection points. Everybody listen, here's the two biggest defection points, tires and oil changes. Yes, there's many contributing factors, but those are the two primary ones. And we think, okay, if it's true, 30 to 33% don't even know we sell tires. How are you educating them? We've been in that game, 2005, 2000. We tried it. The margins were low, no buy-in, et cetera. Then they go to Goodyear, Firestone, Discount Tire. They go to all these places. Discount Tires is one thing because that's all they do. But everybody else, once they get there on tires, what do you think they're telling them? Because they're not selling them tires. They keep them coming back for the highest affected services, tires, alignments, batteries, brake, you know, those types of things. So it's important that there's some educational process there. And you know, some people say coupons, offers, or specials, depending on who you're talking to. Well, we don't do coupons. We don't like giving. You don't have to give anything away. It could be at your door rate, depending on what the experience is. But have information for them. And if they can see it through video and it builds tremendous value, you're going to be a winner all day long. And that is very trackable. That is very trackable.
Okay. I was just going to ask that. That's very trackable.
Yep.
Russell, who at the dealership should really own the website experience? And how do you get buy-in from the sales and the service teams?
Everybody should buy into it. Everybody in any facet of that, they're part of the team. There's no I in team. Yes, there are people that are supposed to be routinely doing that, but I can't tell you the page doesn't exist, 404. All these kinds of things happen because people aren't routinely monitoring it because all they're thinking about is they don't have time for this. Everybody's on their phones. Everybody's on different websites. You should be on your own website, navigating around, making sure that what your customers, it delivers what it's supposed to be delivered. So it's not a single person's responsibility. It is the collective's responsibility to take ownership of that because that's where you make your living.
Okay. I like that.
Okay.
What's one dealership that you've seen as doing digital right? And what can others learn from them?
Well, I know independents, and I know smaller groups and larger groups. A consistency, branding, awareness, messaging. Things work the same. Things look the same. Let me give you an example. I had a meeting many years ago with my other company, with Berkshire Hathaway, at their corporate offices in Dallas, about my old company, R&D Interactive. I thought it was going to go somewhere. It didn't. And I met with this extremely brilliant guy that anything goes on the website has to go through him first. Just a lot of vetting. And I said, one takeaway is that specials content page in the navigation, if you do anything at all, it should be because people read top to bottom, left to right. It should be before new and pre-owned vehicles, not all the way to the right end of the page. And guess what? It's because specials represent all four of your profit centers in one location. But so if there's a consistent theme and look and feel at the individual store, at the smaller group, or even the large corporate giants are starting to get it too, it's very important to deliver that messaging the same way every single time.
That makes sense.
Okay.
So Russell, I'm going to ask a personal question because, you know, I know you're a huge family guy. And I know you recently had a vacation in South Carolina. Tell our audience what you liked about South Carolina.
Okay. Well, I loved it. We were at Myrtle Beach. So I have three kids and four grandkids plus their spouses, and they all live within 9.5 minutes of. So when I'm not doing this, which is my passion, because I get to wake up and visit with Eric and Corey's and dealerships and try to make an impact, that's really what I want to do. It's with my grandkids. And if it's not with them, I like working with people with drug and alcohol problems. It's a passion of mine. And because I'm in recovery as well and have been for a while. And I think in order to keep anything that you have, the only way to keep it is to give it away. And I believe that what I have in my life today is in direct proportion to what I give. And I like giving to my family. It's really, really important. And so we're all in each other's lives all the time. So this trip, not everybody went. Most of the time, everybody goes, but all four of the grandkids went and a few of the kids went. And they all have these different plans of what they're going to do. And I realized right away, Papa just needs to, and most of them are women. It's all women. Papa is not going to orchestrate or control anything. Papa's going to go with the flow and just be there for whatever support role that I can be in, because you got four grandkids at different ages that are crying and whining and hitting on each other, and they don't want to eat this and they want to eat that. They want to go here. No, I don't want to go there. And then, you know, and it's like, man, it's the first time that trip is the first time in years and years and years. First real vacation I've had since I started building this company, but that I really unplugged. And I'm telling you, I've been on short little excursions before, but I didn't unplug. And this time I unplugged. It was great. The quality time that we got to spend. And then I got to share this last thing with you, because I know we're close to the end. So now we're doing, my wife and I are building our dream home. I'm 66 and building my first dream home. Okay. And so we were looking at some land. We've been in this house a long, long time. It's great. You know, nothing wrong with it, et cetera. But, you know, I've worked my butt off and I want to have some of the things that I want to have. Here's one. Three car garage. Well, two of the three car garages, when you drive into them, I want to be able to drive out the back and not have to back out. That's just one little thing. Anyway, we started talking. We found this piece of property and we're telling the kids about it. And here's what they want to do. They all want to sell their homes and build on. We bought 12 acres and they all want, one wants four, the other wants two. They want to build their homes there too. And all 11 of us actually live on this property. Man, I got to tell you.
That's cool.
Yeah. Yeah. I am a family man.
Thanks for sharing that, Russell. Yeah. That's amazing. So you are right. We are right up against the time. I want your three key takeaways from this episode that anyone listening can put into action now.
Look at your website. Make sure the navigations are work. Make sure that it's engaging. Not what you think it should be. Maybe what you think it should be in relative to the other websites that you're on. I think that's really important. Have more video content that your advisors can use, because after all, we're talking about video MPIs today, right? Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, the advisors need access to that as well. It adds to a level of transparency and education that makes the customer feel comfortable. And that's really important. And make sure you have content that is relevant and useful. Not that it just works fine, but relevant and useful. Pay attention to service, parts, and accessories, because it is a critical component of the future of your establishment and being able to retain those customers and to keep them coming back, and it needs to be trackable. That's probably four takeaways.
Russell, how can people get in touch with you?
Well, they can do it through Eric Carnegie or Corey Smith. No, I'm just kidding. You can call my cell, 903-819-5253, and that's 903-819-5253. Or you can visit our Mac Daddy brand spanking new, it's only a few months old website, and that's fixedopsmarketing.com. FIXEDOPS marketing, fixedopsmarketing.com. Or you can, you know, LinkedIn, Instagram. I mean, I'm everywhere. But listen, I'm all about helping elevate. So if you have a question about something, it's not going to be an opportunity. Well, I need to show you our product. It's just like this. I didn't pitch what we're doing. You still probably have no clue what it is that I do, but I hope you got some tidbits, because of guys like these in the industry that is a takeaway, and you can look into it, whether it's me or somebody else. But I would be unbiased and be more than happy to share anything that I have. And if you want to take a look, fine. If you don't, that doesn't change anything. Love you where you're at. If you got something out of it and you can move forward with it and it makes you better, provides a better experience for your guests, that's what it's all about.
I love that energy, Russell. Okay. Easy Care is a total performance provider working alongside your team to help achieve your goals in F&I and across the dealership. We are an award-winning provider and administrator of F&I products and can provide the tools, knowledge, and training needed to unlock the potential of your dealership. For more information on Easy Care or to be a guest on Forward, please feel free to send me an email at csmith@apcoholdings.com. Russell, that is all the time that we have for today. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you so much for being a part of this episode. And I'll ask this last question like I ask every guest. Will you please come back?
No. Yeah, of course I will. Hey, look, these guys here, I'm telling you what, man, salt of the earth. It's not like, oh, we just matters. I've known them for years. Okay. And watch them mushroom and bloom. And they're all about one thing. That's it. Paying it forward, okay? And changing dynamics of the way that we're doing business and fixed operations. So Easy Care, you guys, Corey, Eric, you guys are freaking amazing. APCO, all that you do out there, what you do for our industry, peace and blessings to all of you.
Thank you, Russell.
Okay, thank you. All right, rock and roll, man.
Thank you for listening to Forward, a podcast brought to you by Easy Care with Corey Smith. Be sure to like and subscribe to the podcast. New episodes are released on the 5th and 20th of every month.